Well, happy Wednesday to all of you-ins, as they say down here in Greene County, you-ins and they-ins and us-ins and we-ins. It's just a combination of words that I never knew anything about when I was living up in the mountains of West Virginia. I took a test the other day on being able to identify a state by its, I guess its logo or what they're known as. For example, the Buckeyes, you know which state that is? Of course you do. Ohio. What about Granite? You know what the Granite State is? I knew that. That was New Hampshire. When it asked what the Pine Tree State was, now that was perplexing. Do you know what that one is? Pine State. Well, that happens to be Maine. That was not one that I was aware of. Of course, I knew what the Volunteer State was and the Magnolia State. And the bluegrass state. Some of those are pretty easy. I'm sure I could get stumped. Could you name all 50 states? You know, I have a pretty much a standing bet with most people that they cannot sit there and name all 50 states. I'll sit there and write them all out. Most people can't get it. I always struggle with the ones that are all packed together up north. Maybe one or two out west I'll skip. But I think it's important to know that kind of stuff. I know when I was in civics class at Hayes Junior High School in St. Albans, West Virginia, part of that was being able to name all of the counties of the state of Tennessee, West Virginia. We didn't care about Tennessee up there. But I think it's important to know those kind of things. I think it as an exercise, it makes you learn how to memorize stuff, but it also gives you an appreciation for your country and, you know, what's special about it, what makes certain regions special. I think that's a good thing. And speaking of good things, I had a great visit yesterday with my regional manager with Ford. Now, this guy is pretty high up. There are 21 people like him in the United States. So he's one of 21, which is pretty high up in the Ford Motor Company. There are those 21 have, I think, five over them. And then over those five, there's one guy who reports to the executive committee for Ford. Matter of fact, he sits on the executive committee of Ford Motor Company. This guy has a lot of information, therefore, and he and I have become good friends. And he's an old car lover, just like I am, especially old Fords. And we had a great conversation. But one of the things I wanted to really dive into is about the chip shortage. And then the other thing was about the, Ford's strategy of splitting the company into two parts, the EV part, electric vehicle, and the ICE part, internal combustion engines. That's what they call them, ICE vehicles now. Everything has to have an acronym. So Greg and I had a long discussion about that. And, you know, as far as the company splitting, a lot of what you've seen in the press says that dealers are going to be cut out of the equation because Jim Farley, who is the CEO of Ford, doesn't like dealers and the way dealers operate. Well, that's not the case, and the press has blown that out of proportion. Everybody's in love with Elon Musk, and I like Elon Musk, too. I respect him a great deal. But Ford is not going to all of a sudden start selling their vehicles online, and you have it delivered to your house. Now, they're going to do it through dealers, and you will be able to buy your Ford online and have it delivered to your house and never step foot in the dealership. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. You know, some people get intimidated by the process of buying cars. I try to coach folks on this radio show how you can buy a car at a car dealer stress-free, where you're in control and they're not. What, you know, people too often do is they cede control of the transaction over to a fast-talking salesperson, and the next thing they know, they've signed a bunch of paperwork and driving home in their car, and then they wake up the next morning saying, uh-oh, what did we do? You know, that's when they read their paperwork and do all of that. They let somebody else control them, and that's never really a good idea under hardly any circumstances. But you really need dealers. Dealers are self-capitalized, which means that they're independent businesses. They want to be successful. They want to be able to take care of their customers, because if they don't, they won't be successful long term. At least that's the mindset of most. Now, there are some, as we've said many times, and you can tell, you know, I've talked about ways for you to sniff out the bad apples. You should be able to find out within the first 5 minutes of driving onto the lot and the words that come out of the salesperson's mouth. That will tell you whether or not it is a high-pressure store or it is one that is trying to help you buy a car instead of sell you something. So anyway, as far as the Ford Motor Company, I wanted to find out about, you know, how they're going to do this and split the company, and then also about chips. What's going on with the chips? Well, what he is saying is that they're not saying much. Isn't that a non-answer? Yeah, the executives are very tight-lipped about what is going on with the chip situation. They say it with Ford Motor Company, it's going to start. It's already started easing. They're flowing better. He spoke about the plant in Louisville, Kentucky, they build the Expedition there. That's what he was talking about. There were approximately 5,000 expeditions. I keep wanting to say exhibition. No, it's Expedition sitting in this lot, 5,000 of them, which is, you know, that's a lot of vehicles. And they could not deliver any of them because they were all short of chips. And so he had a friend of his who had ordered an Expedition and wondered what the status of his was, and he couldn't tell him. He says, I thought you were the regional manager for Ford. He said, yeah, I am, but there's certain information that we don't have access to. But that is being solved. There is a new app that's coming out. Ford is going to introduce it, but it is developed by a different company, that you will not only be able to tell where your vehicle is in the process, is you will be able to know its exact location based on GPS. And you'll be able to see where your vehicle is as far as the ordering process. Now, right now, you know, if you order a new Ford, it could take anywhere from I guess it's possible to order one and have it 90 days. I've just not seen that happen in recent years, last 2 years. But you'll be able to order a vehicle. Let's say it takes 6 months to get it. Eventually, that's going to get back down to 6 to 8 weeks, according to the experts. But wouldn't it be nice to know where it is? Right now, the Ford Motor Company, big as they are and as many computers and smart people as they have, they can't tell you where it is. They can't tell you exactly where your car is. You know, it's one thing to lose your keys. It's another thing to lose a $80,000 Expedition. There I go. Exhibition. It's not an exhibition. This radio show is an exhibition sometimes. So anyway, the chip shortage is going to get better, and which means there'll be greater availability of new automobiles. What does that mean? Well, that means that prices should mitigate some. But it also, on the downside of that, it means that used car values are going to start to go down. This will be a gradual downturn in terms of price and value. So don't panic. Don't think you have to sell your vehicle right now or you're going to lose money. If you do sell it now, you're still going to maximize value because used car prices are very high. I'm buying cars every day that I can, and I prefer to buy them from you. You know, if you've got some old car, extra car in your garage or something you don't need anymore, you want to sell your vehicle, you're going to start maybe riding an electric bicycle, then I will make you a cash offer and love to buy your vehicle from you. Of course, there's a lot of people saying that right now. I listened to an advertisement for a dealer in Bristol talking about buying cars. Of course, Carvana buys cars. AutoNation dealers do that. What's that one? CarMax. CarMax always talks about, you know, paying you top dollar for your vehicle. And so I guess you could really shop that around. You could get a price from me and get a price from Carvana and other people. We have a lot of people bring in their quotes from Carvana and say, well, this is what they offered. Will you give me more than that? And typically we say, yeah, why not? Because we need cars. So anyway, the other side of this discussion was the EV thing and what they're going to be requiring dealers to do if they're going to be a part of the equation. And they are going to give us a choice, and I'll talk about that here in just a minute. So your local Ford dealer is going to have two basic divisions in his sales department. One is going to be the electric vehicle division, and the other one is going to be the internal combustion engine division. So obviously, The ICE division is going to be the biggest volume because, you know, there's just not that many people wanting to buy electric cars around here. Now, there are some, and a lot of people are curious about it. NADA did a study that said that 36% of the folks out there are interested in buying an electric vehicle or gathering information on buying an electric vehicle. Doesn't mean they're going to buy one. And if that's 36% of all car buyers, then I would say as far as those turning into sales will be less than 5%. Because we are never going to have any kind of big volume on electric vehicles until we have a charging infrastructure that's built. We're 10 to 15 years away from that. And if you're the kind of person that, you know, just travels short distances and maybe to Knoxville and back, Asheville and back, local tri-city stuff, electric vehicle may be a good choice for you. You're going to pay more for it. Now, you are going to get a $7,500 tax credit if you buy from Ford or some of the other makers. You won't get that from Tesla anymore because they've reached the maximum number of sales in order to qualify for the $7,500 tax credit. But that helps some if you pay taxes. You know, you don't get a tax credit if you don't pay taxes. And there's a lot of people that don't have to pay taxes. So that's something to consider as well. So anyway, your local Ford dealer is going to have an option for you if he elects to do so. So here's what they're going to be proposing in September. I'm supposed to go to Las Vegas early September to this meeting. And they're asking all Ford dealers to attend this two-day session in Las Vegas where Jim Farley is going to lay out the plan. And according to the heads up that I have, the plan is going to, if you're going to be an EV dealer, you're going to have to build, you're going to have to spend about between $100,000 and $200,000 in actual expenditures to make that happen. A large portion of that, majority of that, is going to be building a charging station. Now, I've already got four potential, I've got four charging stations out here. Now, they're 240 volt. They're not what you call the supercharger. If you were to plug into my charger with a dead battery, it would take about 8 hours to charge it up, maybe a little bit longer. DC chargers, the direct current, they call them superchargers. They will charge a vehicle like a Tesla or a Mach-E Ford Mustang. They'll charge that in about 40 minutes to 80%. If you want to charge 100%, it's going to take a little bit longer. You know, the longer you sit there, the slower the charging goes. I don't know why that is, but that's just something that's just kind of the way they work. And so Ford is going to require all their dealers apparently to build a charging station. Now, if I don't see myself selling a lot of EVs. I don't see anybody in East Tennessee or Tennessee or the Southeast for that matter, rural Southeast. I'm not talking about Atlanta or Charlotte. You're going to have more people participate in it in the larger cities. Because they're not as smart as we are. But anyway, they are going to make us have a charging station, even though we're not selling that many EVs. But betting on the come, as my dad used to say, just betting that it's going to come. And so I'll have to make a decision at that point once they propose all the details. They also want us to be able to handle in-home service or at-home service, which right now, you know, we can deliver vehicles. We can go pick up vehicles, bring them to our shop and work on them, but we don't have the equipment or the, you know, like a van or whatever that has all the tools in it and the air compressor and the lift and that kind of stuff to be able to work on people's vehicles in their driveway. So we're going to have to figure that piece out, but they're going to lay out a plan for us and Ford will scale it according to the volume of the dealer. And hopefully they'll consider where you live and those types of considerations because, like I say, there's not going to have the demand in Greenville, Tennessee or Johnson City that you're going to have even in a city the size of Knoxville or Nashville or someplace like that. So if you look at the other side of the business, the internal combustion engine division, that is also going to include hybrids. And I asked him a question. I said, what kind of development dollars are being applied to the hybrid side? And he said, as far as he knows, zero. It's all going to EVs. And I said, well, why is there such a big push for EVs? And he said, it's because that's what that's what Wall Street wants to hear. they all want to hear that these, I guess, legacy companies like General Motors and Ford and Chrysler are making strides to EVs. Now, it worked for a while with Ford. Ford's stock shot up really good. A lot of people were happy with Jim Farley. Now look at it, $11 a share. You know, that hype doesn't last a long time because, you know, the ether wears off. People, they finally figure out, well, wait a minute now. So they're going to be able to build all these Lightning pickup trucks and all these Mach-Es and the other vehicles that are coming. He said they're coming with a lower-end car, more affordable EV. And then there'll be a Ranger truck EV that we've heard about. So all of these people are going to be buying all these electric vehicles, and there's no place to charge them. You can't roll into Publix. Well, Publix doesn't have gas. Well, maybe they do have gas pumps, but you can't roll into Food City or the Roadrunner Market or the Marathon Station and charge up. You can't go to Bucky's. You know, Bucky's just has gas. I don't know. I didn't look at the Bucky's when I went down to Atlanta to see if they have any charging stations. They probably will at some point. But I think they know how to read the tea leaves. You know, they know what's real and what's not real. This EV thing is not real yet. It will be. We're going to be forced into it. I don't know where all the electricity is going to come from, do you? They're going to fire up this dam that was built in the early teens of the last century down on the Nolichucky River, big dam, hydroelectric, and start cranking out more electricity. You know, are we going to put up a bunch of windmills around East Tennessee to generate this? Because right now, you know, with the restrictions on building a nuclear power plant or generating more electricity that way, and certainly burning coal and natural gas is not going to be something that we can allow to happen. So I don't know where the electricity is going to come from. They're already talking about rolling blackouts in California, and I think they've already started because they don't have enough juice. You know, and with Lake Mead drying up near, you know, where the Hoover Dam is and a lot of other situations like that, I mean, they're just dreaming. This whole Green New Deal stuff is just a pipe dream. And it's, you know, it sounds good. It's a really good talking point. And probably there are some things that we need to do in terms of, and we need to clean up what comes out of the exhaust pipe of cars even more. It's amazing what they've been able to do already. But they're talking about synthetic fuels now. Porsche has developed a synthetic fuel that is commercially viable, and especially at prices like $4 a gallon. And they're saying it, basically zero emissions. And then you look at that versus all the energy that has to be expended to be able to not only build an electric car, but generate the electricity to power the electric car. And more than likely, you're creating more greenhouse issues with the electric vehicle than anybody has any clue about. I'm not a scientist, but I do read a lot, and I interpret some things pretty accurately at times. And I think this is something we need to be aware of. If you want to buy a car, don't think about necessarily buying an EV. You can think about it, but go get you a really efficient Honda or Toyota or maybe come down and buy a Ford or a Nissan for me. And, you know, get you something that's going to get 30, 40, close to 50 miles a gallon. We sell them right now. I mean, you can buy a Nissan Altima. You can get close to 40 miles a gallon with that vehicle. Comfortable family car. And will serve you just fine for years and years. And we'll still be, when that car wears out, we'll still be wondering where all the charging stations are. Anyway, I'll be back here in just a minute. Well, thank you for putting up with me while I review some of this stuff. I think that sometimes I just try to pass on perspective about the news and what's going on in the industry. And sometimes I get specific. Tomorrow I'm going to get specific about some reminders, things that people need to do about their cars and driving. And, there's basic fundamental things that we can do to make the car that we're driving right now get better gas mileage, just like adjusting the air pressure in your tires. You know, just making sure that you have the correct pressure. And again, remember, you don't go by what it says on the sidewall of the tire. That's the maximum air pressure for the tire. You go by what it says on the door jamb in your car or in your owner's manual. You know, that tells you how much the engineers say that the tires on your car need to be inflated to. And that's what you go by. And then every other month, check your air pressure, because they're going to go down. If you're using nitrogen, they're going to go down about a pound a month, PSI. And if you're using air, regular breathable air, it's got nitrogen in it, but it's got other stuff in it too. You're going to lose about 2 pounds of pressure a month. So if you're just checking it every 6 months or every time you go get an oil change, then you are wasting fuel and you are wasting tire tread, because it will actually wear that out. These little things matter, and I try to insert them into the discussion as we go. If you have any questions about the car industry, about specific issues that you're having with your car, if you want a price on a car, if you want to thinking about selling your car and somebody's offered you money for it, and you just want to make sure that it's fair, that it's adequate, send me a text, 423-552-2020, and I'll be glad to help you. You know, this is not a national syndicated program. This is local East Tennessee talk radio. And if I have the time and the inclination to help anybody with automotive questions, that is my mission in life, or one of them, at this point. And if I can help you, I would love it. So thanks for listening. Again, this is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru, and I'll see you tomorrow.